This is July 22nd, 1984, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew. So then, good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to share with you a largening, a stretching, an expanding of a sentence that I keep persistently drumming into your ears, which is the basic sentence that until you really do find a way to love yourself, that your life is going to continue to have difficulty, almost sometimes overwhelming unhappiness, and a sense of being off center. Someone very dear said, I try to love myself, and I don't even know what that means. When something is happening in my world, and I go within, I look for that sense of love, and I don't find anything. And the question is, what am I supposed to be looking for? In order to talk deeply about this, let us go back to some very basic statements that we have made over the years and that perhaps some of you have forgotten. Number one rule, you have forgotten that the phenomenon of your psyche is that it goes on and off, as quickly as this, on and off. It could be regulated in some vague sense with the beat of your heart, on and off. On and off. It is a movement into the world and then back into the vastness. Into the world and back into the vastness. Everything is throbbing in the universe all of the time, and it is the same basic throbbing that you are a part of, which moves you into the world of createdness, and then in the next instant back into the world of the vastness, however you want to talk about it. It is why in the old days the wonderful statues had one face going one way and another face going the other way. This was the old wisdom that man had the ability to be the doorway between the two worlds. He faced into and then back out of. And this was a constant knowing. Another way of saying this is that a vast part of your beingness you left outside of the time-space continuum when you chose to incarnate. Again, another way of saying this is that a vast part of your beingness you left outside of the time-space continuum when you decided to incarnate. That time-space is here, and so is the vastness. They are both interfaced at the same time. The concept that your religions have given you have taken you away from that basic knowingness so that you have forgotten how tremendously empowering every other instant is. So, you are totally transfixed in one direction. And as you know, many of the wise ones say that a way of talking about the path is to turn around and face the other way. Well, my friends, I don't suggest that you turn around and totally face the other way, because then you're going to have another great dilemma. Your life will start falling apart. Nothing will start being done. You won't bother to eat. You won't bother to sleep. I don't think that is the solution. The solution is to readdress your reality, and it is this. You are now and have always been, as long as you are in physical form, the doorway between the two realities. This is the wonder of being a human. It is a wonderful thing. It is exciting. It is dynamic. It is creative. It is abundant. It is beautiful. Facing both ways all of the time. Transfixed, you don't feel it. Many of the people that you call insane have turned the other way. That's all. They have simply turned the other way. Their face is going in another direction. They no longer relate with the same tension to the world, and they do not have the same sense of continuity, of form, of shape, of color. All of this, it's totally different. You call them mad? Maybe, maybe not. Let's just leave it open. But nevertheless, the wonder of being a human is to see. Now, another way of talking about this is, You have been told that the Kundalini power runs up the spine, around the back, all right? Let us tell a lie and split you in half, but not this way. Let's split you in half this way, all right? So, you have the back of you with the Kundalini power, which is all of this wondrous spiritual energy, the doorway back. It's that. But at the same time, you have all this wonderful chakric power that's going out in this direction, which is the forefront, which is what takes you out into the world, which is what gives you expression, which gives you all of the wonder of your life that you outprint. All right. Either one of these two parts of you are lessened unless they are joined as long as you are in earth form. Now, what does this have to do with loving yourself? It is a truth that only one thing can occupy a space at one time. This is the most enlivening concept that I can present to you today. And I would like us to go into depth as to exactly what I mean. Most of you are unhappy for various reasons, but when we get down to the basis of it, the reason you are unhappy is that you feel that in your space, something is missing. Something is missing. Somebody has taken it away from you, or you've wanted it and they wouldn't give it to you, or whatever it might be. Something is missing. And so you go about your life trying to put something into your space that is going to take up that gap. Oh, my friends, in all due respect to this concept, if you would stop just one moment, you would realize that you can never put anything in your space because you are already in it. How can you put anything else in your space when you are already in it? Always in it. So you can amass the most amazing power of finance, of love, of sexuality, I don't care. It will still be outside and you will still be in your space. You are in your space. You can try to pull another into it. Oh, I'm lonely, so I'm going to get somebody into my space. I wish you could see what this looks like, because then you would be on to the game and then you would relax. But this is the way it looks. You know, you try by whatever maneuvers, some physical, mental, sexual, or however, and you're going to get them into your space, and you pull and you pull and you pull, and you feel better and better, and all of a sudden, there they are, and you say, now they're in my space. But in reality, my friends, nothing has changed. You are still standing exactly in your space. Their being there hasn't changed your space. They leave, it hasn't changed your space. You are still in it. So what? So what? The so what here is this. From the very earliest times that you were very, very small, you have been taught the lie. Get as many things around you and hang on to them and you will be happy. So some of you still have around you all of the people that you had as your friends when you were 6 years old, 12 years old, 18, 25, whatever. They're all around you. You go into your homes and you've got the bed from your grandmother and so forth, all this business. It's all around you. And the worst part of it is in your head. In your head, it is all in the mind. Well done, Mr. Moore, because it is all in the mind. And it just comes into the mind and you carry around, yes, Aunt Agnes told me this and I remember Daddy told me this, and all of this mess. And if you looked inside, you would see that they don't really get along with each other. Have you realized that sometimes mother and grandfather didn't agree? Have you ever noticed that? Grandfather says A, somebody else says B, you put them both in your mind. Do you see what happens? You pick them both up and you stick them both in your mind and you just sit around in this mess of confusing, conflicting data and you wonder why you are confused. If the spiritual quest is anything, it has got to be the cleaning out of the debris that you have stuffed in these attics and hung on to. It cannot ever be successful without it. This is why we have meditation. This is why we have austerities. This is why we have sweat lodges. This is why we have no eating. All of this is just a falsified, in quotes, a false way of getting you to drop the old and make space for the new. Make space for the new. Now, loving oneself. In my estimation, and this is only mine, in my observation of the human dilemma, the way to love yourself is to begin to understand deeply within your being that only you can occupy that space, always have and always will, and this is the important quotient, there is nothing that can be added to or taken from you. It is all an illusion. You want to talk about an illusion? It is the illusion that you can be added to or taken away from. Neither is possible. You are absolutely perfected wonder as you are. And the confusion comes by thinking, I don't have enough. I don't have enough. You have forgotten that you are it. We began 5 years ago, those of you who came to the land, the first teaching I gave you, you are it. You have always been it. You could never be anything else. What does that mean? That means the absolute knowing that nothing is added to you and nothing is taken away. It is an illusion. And you live your lives on this assumption. Something has to come to me. God has to come to me. How could God possibly get through all this grandmothers and grandfathers? How's he going to make his way? You know, you're standing in your own space and there's all this business around you. You know, all the thoughts, the feelings, the emotions. Oh my, what fun. And that's fine. I do not care how many feelings, emotions, pains, sorrows, joys. I don't care. It's wonderful. It has a vibration to it that is just delightful. That is not my issue. My issue is you have misidentified and you have said, I, as I stand in my own space in this moment and in the next moment, am not enough. I am not enough. I am a needy, poor thing, walking through this terrifying universe, waiting for something to come and make me feel good. And it's this last part that I ask you to address. And make me feel good. Make me feel better. Make me feel alive. Make me feel real. Make me feel wonderful. Make me feel worthwhile. Do you understand what you are saying? You are saying that God is going around saying, I need somebody to make me feel worthwhile. It does not compute to me. And I'm sorry for my vehemence, but I honestly feel as we are beginning to approach the coming of the fall, I ask all of you who have any concern for this planet to start understanding this basic dilemma because we are going to need your power. It is now or it is never. How long are you going to wait? How long are you going to pretend? There is only one truth, and the truth is that you have always been an expression of the Divine One, and nothing has changed it. And you can create all of the needy illusion around you, but that does not change the reality of your being. It does not, and it cannot. How do you begin to know this? It is so simple that you miss it. One of the ways that you get misled, and this does not mean I am against what I'm talking about, it's just one of the ways that you get misled, is through this phenomena called personal love, romantic love. You know, A meets B and they go, oh my goodness, and then the heart goes pitter-patter and everything goes, then the whole body turns on and electricity is moving and the whole world goes on fire and it's just amazing. And that then is the translation in the mind, oh, this is love. Oh, I got it. Because why? Everybody's told you so. You know, look at all these Valentine cards. They know exactly what love is all about. That's what love is all about. This wonderful feeling that just, you know, it's like your body's on fire and you go along just radiating. Oh, it's wonderful. That is, and I will grant you, that is a wonderful feeling. It has nothing to do with the kind of love that I'm talking about. It's wonderful. I am not, you know, it's wonderful. The confusion comes that when you go within, now you're going to look for that same explosion, and you're not going to find it. Because what that explosion is that when it does happen, it means that two energy fields have come together that have usually a lot of similarity in their vibrational frequency, meaning that they excite each other. They become more. When they're together, they become more. They become excited. You know, they just get along. And this enhances the feeling and the power around you, because now where you were one, now you have another power added to you. And the result is you feel more excited. You know, you feel bigger. You feel stronger, feel more confident, and all of these good things. And that's fine. The dilemma is how to keep that going. And usually it doesn't continue, because what happens, unless you're very careful, is you begin to remember and notice all of the places where you're not similar, you know, where all of your feelings do not go together, where you have these feelings of separation. And so then you begin to doubt the essential feeling, which is, well, I did feel this, but now I realize that, you know, I like coffee in the morning and they want tea and we only have one cup and one pot, and what are we going to do? And you know, whatever it might be. I like water beds and they like electric blankets and they don't go to, whatever the dilemma might be. You know, these very deep questions that ruin relationships. But the basic issue still stands that kind of wondrous feeling is not what happens when you go within yourself and look for self-love. Now, I'm going to complicate this, and I hope you can follow. When you go within and begin to feel your space, I hope and pray that you all understand what I mean when I say feeling your space. Do you understand? Do you really understand? Feeling your space. You go in and you turn off the outside data. You just turn it off by will. You say off. And you go inside and you begin to feel. You will begin to feel a very substantial, and it really does look like this psychically, pillar. This is why all of your drawings are like this. You know, these wonderful pillars of light coming down. Why? Because they're there. That is what you are. When you slow down and really see with the eye of the psyche, that's what you see. You see this wondrous pillar of power, and then around it is all this other business. We won't go into that, but we'll just talk about this essential wonder, which is this pillar, and it appears like this. And so psychics look at that, and they say, oh, that's the way it is, and they draw these pictures, and everybody gets it on one level. What you don't get is that's really what you are. This it's a cohesive, wonderful power that goes around in multi-colored waves of power around a central, almost a pole. It's almost like a pole. Now, this is a lie because it's moving so quickly that it's hard to see. But nevertheless, this is the essential makeup. And it is around this wonderful movement that is the sense of who you are, the I of you, the I of you. And interestingly enough, it is like an eye. It is a straight, not a fancy eye, but just this wonderful line. It's just this wonderful line. All right. When you go in and begin to feel your space, the first thing that begins to happen is you begin to feel the familiarity of security. I repeat, the familiarity of security. You have been going around on this planet saying, I am not safe, I am not safe. And the truth is, yes, you are. You are safe. Your illusions are not safe. They never have been, and they never will be. They will always die. Illusions, the job of an illusion is to die. So when you have this feeling of things dying around you, of things changing around you, and if you have identified with that itself, what happens to you is the I in you gets disassociated and you become afraid. I am lost. I am losing. I am gone. I am unclear. And that is not true. What is true is this wonderful changing pattern around you. You know, the cells in you change all of the time. Your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, the people in your life. You know, everything is always in motion. It's a wonderful, exciting change. It only becomes frightening when you say, stop. Freeze it. I don't want it to change. I like it just like this. Everybody, stop. Not only everybody I know, but everybody I know knows. I want everybody, stop. And the whole world says, you must be kidding. If we stop it now, I'm going to be unhappy. So we have to keep moving until I feel better. Do you understand? You're never going to get it, ladies and gentlemen. You are never going to find that one moment in time, space, when the whole world says, yes, let's stop it now, right here. Do you understand? It's not going to happen. So the wonderful movement is this exciting movie that comes and goes and rises up and changes. Can you imagine going to the same movie every night? And you see it all the way through, and then somebody says, no, now we're going to really freeze it. And they freeze one way, and you have to sit the rest of your life looking at this one frame. I think that would be nauseously boring. Just, that's life. Life is this wonderful change. And where you get afraid is you misidentify the I that is in you that does not waver with all of the multi-movements. All right, so what's this mean? It means back to the very basic thing that we have always begun with and we will always go through, which is this. Just as when you breathe in this column. Just as when you feel breath and you feel heart, it's in this area, in this column. Just as when you feel anything moving, it's in this column. It is the alive part of you. And the easiest thing in the world is to begin to rest in that power. To rest in that power, to walk with it, with that awareness, to sleep with it, to do whatever you're doing with it. It's a way of grounding yourself in the power of who you are. And then whatever goes on around you, truly, my friends, is exciting and interesting, but it is not paralyzing. You become paralyzed because you become afraid. You become afraid. When you get something, you become afraid that you're going to lose it. When you lose something, you become afraid that you're not going to get something in its substitution. The answer is, my friend, that you have always been this wondrous, empowered I power, and that is where you have got to keep going back with repetition, with repetition, with repetition. You have to know that you are the only thing that can fill your space, and that's perfect. Anything that you add to yourself or take away from yourself is an illusion. Anything that you add to or take away from yourself is an illusion, and it will die. And it will die. And if you identify with those things that are outside that live and die, you will be miserable because you will always be afraid of losing something that you think you must have in order to be happy. Or you will go around pining and yearning because you have not had something added to you that you believe in your mind will make you happy. The solution is to just be so aware of that power in there. And it's just like a rod. It's just like a rod. Why do you think every guru you ever thought of having always says, sit up straight, sit up straight, sit up straight? Why? Why don't they say bend over, bend over? Why did they say sit up straight, sit up straight? It's because that is a reality. The reality is that that's strengthening of the strength. You know, you can tell if someone is very despondent. What's the first way? You don't see somebody who's despondent walking around like this. They just, it's just not in the body. You know, they don't walk with that movement from here that lets you know that they're walking with power in life. Why? Just remember, if you want to make yourself feel better, if you are depressed, I don't care what else you do, sit up. Walk straight, tall, empowered, start moving. Start moving from that power, and you will, in spite of yourself, start to feel better in spite of yourself. Because a part of you says, oh boy, isn't this fun? I'm depressed. Everybody's paying attention to me. Isn't this great? I can moan and groan and so forth. But eventually one says, I would rather feel excited, enlightened, happy, moving. You see, when you bend over like this, my friends, the truth is the energy can't move very well. Do you see? It just can't. It just gets stuck. How many of you have headaches? Please raise your hand if you have headaches. All right. Number one, any of you have headaches? The way out, just keep getting straight. Because headaches indicate backaches. Backaches. Anything in here. What happens is you've stuck your energy. Somewhere it's not moving. Meaning that all that starts to move and it just sticks there and there's no way of getting it out. All right, you can be very fancy. You can go to yoga classes and all that. That's all perfect. But, you know, the easy way is to just start sitting up straight and walking straight and appearing. When you straighten up, not only do you feel better, but the energy that surrounds you starts to move in a much different way. What does this have to do with self-love? I cannot imagine anyone touching on the wonder of that pillar, which is always there, and not knowing what self-love means. I will tell you something, my friends. It will not mean that you end up loving everything that you do. You will not end up saying, oh, I think it's just wonderful that I go around yelling and screaming and carrying on. No, that's not what it means. That isn't what's going to happen. When you begin to love yourself, you're not going to look out in your world and say, oh, what a perfect entity I am, and everything I do is wonderful. Am I not just a wondrous entity? No, that is not what you're going to say. What you're going to say is, I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. I now see that those things that are created have in them the possibility of being imperfectly created. Have you noticed the imperfections in the physical body? Have you noticed the built-in imperfections in the physical body? And some of you have spent your whole life trying to rectify the basic imperfections in the physical body. I would ask you to consider going one step backwards. There will always be imperfections in the physical body until you, as a planetary unit, decide to create the perfect physical body that is no longer immune to this and that. Do you think it's going to be tomorrow? All of you getting together? The answer is to realize that those things that are created out of this have the ability to have imperfections. And so what? Do you really, if you create an imperfect loaf of bread, go around the whole day depressed and berating yourself? You simply say, well, too bad, thunk, let's try again, and you do another one. You don't go over, oh my goodness, I'm a terrible sinner, I did this terrible thing, I didn't put in the eggs, I didn't whatever, whatever. You say, oh, wood, wood, down it goes, and away you go again. If you could only learn to live your lives from that same sense of, you are experimenting, haven't you figured it out? It's a wonderful experiment. It's a wonderful experiment. Astrologically, you come in with a certain set of characteristics. You say, good, these are my toys. I'm going to play with these this lifetime. This and that, and I'm going to see what happens. Little of this and little of that. I'll put this in, I'll try this. You know, those of you that think that you come in and go down a road with your blinders up, this isn't the kind of place you should come to, because I really cannot validate that perception. What you are is a dynamic, creative, wonderful, ongoing process. Sometimes you make mistakes. So what? Sometimes you pull off a good one. So what? Does it matter? What matters is, please listen, what matters is the wondrous feeling of life creating. Your purpose is to create with joy and humor and love and, excuse me, fun. That is what you're here for. Haven't you noticed? You are here to create. And you create any number of things. Some of them aren't worth creating. Face it. Don't say, well, I don't know why God didn't make this better. Look at this mess. I've just created this relationship, and I think it's a mess, and God, what are you going to do about it? No, I don't think God's going to do anything about it. I think God's going to just have a good time watching you. So... you are responsible for your creations, both beautiful and ugly and all in between. And so what? Just claim it. I created it. If I don't like it, let's do something different. You aren't stuck to the models of it's got to be like this. It's got to be like this. Why? Well, because mommy said so. Oh, mommy said so. Well, look at mommy. Is she happy? If she's not happy, don't create like mommy. Figure it out. Figure it out. Some mommies, you know, don't create very well, or daddies, or whatever. All right. Now, the wonderful excitement is the purpose is to feel the joy of creating and have the wonderful mastery of deciding which things are pleasing to you and doing them for a while and which things are not. But, you know, let's talk about the whole thing about baking the bread. In the process of baking the bread, you do not know its outcome, whether it's going to be a lovely thing or a mess. You have no knowledge of this. All you know is you and that moment are in some kind of wonderful juxtaposition, and something is being created. If you wait, which you, most of you do, to see what it turns out like, it's like holding your breath the whole time you're baking the cake. Holding your breath, and let's get it done as fast as I can, because I have to see if it's going to turn out all right. I want to see if everybody loves it. I want to see if everybody thinks it's wonderful. I want to see how everybody admires it. No. The wonder is I'm picking up the flour, I'm dumping it in a bowl, I'm walking to the refrigerator, I'm taking out the eggs, I'm cracking, listen to the sound, listen to the feeling, feel the air around me, look out the window. Life is having a wonderful time baking this piece of whatever. You live your lives waiting for the results, and you are not happy with what you are creating until you've seen the end. Please. That's linear thinking. That's not how you were created to think. You were created by your own being to enjoy the wonder of walking, of smiling, of crying, of breathing, of sleeping, of eating, of talking, of crying, of hurting, of not hurting. That is the point, my friends. The point is life is moving and you are in a wonderful position to feel it. And in that feeling of it, to create this or to create that, there is nothing in your life that you cannot change. I do not care. Unless it is a birth defect at birth. I don't really feel like, I mean this very sincerely, I don't think that you have the capabilities at this stage to grow new arms or legs or to reverse tremendous inner changes, you know, besides that, because that, of course, is a choice made on a karmic level. But other than that, there is nothing that you cannot change now. Begin it. I don't like it. I mean, do you really sit around and stare at that loaf of bread day after day and get up in the morning and what's wrong with it? What did I do wrong? How could I fix it? You know, you just say, enough. You know, away it goes, and out of it comes a wonderful new suggestion. If you are paralyzing yourself by thoughts of past failure or past things that didn't work, all you are doing is filling your mind full of the old. If you can really, you know, this is all this business. You know, this weekend, those of you who will be with us out in the forest in Taos, what are we doing? What are we doing? We're just going to drop the old and pick up the new. What's wrong with that? That's in the past that you want, keep it. Hold it. Love it. Embrace it. If it no longer works, then let's just leave it by the stream and go home. This is the way, please, to live your life. If you keep reminding yourself that there is, you see, if you know that you are this wondrous power of pillar, and it is so easy to feel if you just feel your own space. This is the wonder of sitting quietly in, you can call it meditation, that's a bad name these days. So let's just call it something else. I don't know, sitting quietly with oneself. Sitting quietly with oneself, one begins to feel the wonder of oneself. And you begin to honor your breath. Have you gotten there? To honor your breath, to honor the way you feel, to honor the way your skin is, to honor the feelings in you, just honor, honor, honor. It's just an incoming flood of, and you say, oh, you see where you get trapped? As parents say, you say, I feel beautiful, Mommy. Mommy says, don't be arrogant. Mommy, I just got the most wonderful idea. Don't be arrogant. I feel, you know, whatever, you know, again and again. From the earliest times when that wonderful wellspring comes up of, I'm wonderful. Somebody in your universe is going to say, don't be arrogant, don't be arrogant, don't be arrogant, because they have confused the issue again. They have confused that upwelling of the divine, which is wonderful, with their ideas. Do you understand? They're caught. They think that that wonderful feeling comes out of your all this multi-changing ego, and it doesn't. But at a very early age, you start having wonderful feelings of being worthwhile and of dancing through the living room without hitting, you know, the vases and all the lamps and whatever. You know, when life starts to move with power, the body starts to, whew, takes off, you know, and that's what children are all about. You notice? Aren't they inconvenient in your beautiful white carpets? Don't they have a way? They're very inconvenient, these children, you know. So the answer is, let's make them convenient. How do you make them convenient? Well, slow them down. Slow them down. Don't run so fast. Don't yell so loud. Don't be so happy. Shh, shh, shh. Daddy's sleeping. Shh, shh, shh. The neighbors will hear you. Shh, shh, shh. Pretty soon, all right, down goes, down, down, down. Down goes the energy. And then pretty soon you say, oh, you're wonderful. And then Charles says, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Divine power is inconvenient to people who are really addicted to having things stay the same. Because divine power comes in and takes its hand and wipes off the whole board and says, let's try something else. That was fun. Now what? Now what? Let's take it all away and try again. My friends, please, please. You have lost touch with ecstasy. Not vibrational movement, but inner ecstasy. Because it has been trained out of you. I would like all of you to try to do something, each to your own ability. Would you all close your eyes, please? I'd like for you to really please try something. Please be serious about this. The simplest and easiest way to get in touch with this power is what we will now undertake. And this is the way it plays. I am willing to feel my inner ecstasy at all times. This is the mantra that I give you out of my beingness to your beingness. This is my prayer for you. I am willing to experience my inner ecstasy now and forevermore. I am willing. I am willing. Years ago, you set the intent to not feel because it was painful to feel. And now I am asking you to be willing to feel the ecstasy of your inner being. If you do this every day and remind yourself through the day, you will find you have the power to bring this feeling back into your consciousness, because it has always been there, but you have walled yourself off and you no longer feel it. Please, my friends, this is not fancy. It is just simple. I beg you to consider it. Your inner ecstasy is a reality. Please, give yourself deep permission to feel it. Please. With that one feeling, all of life can do what it will, and you will not mind. Without it, life can give you everything, and you will never, ever be content. Thank you all for coming.